The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother offends you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector." I know. "Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Again, "Amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At this time in our liturgy, we are invited to pause to allow the Word of God to come to life, to breathe in the Word of God, allow it to become a living teaching. For it is our firm conviction in our faith that the Word of God is alive. It had its teaching 2,000 years ago, and it has its teaching today. So let me pause for a few moments and look at the text of today's Gospel, which comes from the book of Matthew in chapter 18. And this tract in the Matthew's Gospel is found only in Matthew. There is no parallel in the other Gospels speaking about this process, a protocol of reconciliation. In order to understand it, it would be good for us to look at the church and the tradition of Matthew, who, by the way, was a tax collector, became a disciple. The earliest followers of Jesus were all Jews. And when they began to follow Jesus, who also was a devout Jew, went to the synagogue and observed the Mosaic law, when they began to follow Jesus, they kept their Jewish tradition alive. So they went to the synagogue on Saturday, on the Jewish Sabbath, and then on Sunday, they celebrated the Eucharist, the breaking of the bread, the followers of Jesus. That's how we ended up on Sunday, and the Jewish Sabbath is on Saturday. And therefore, in this Jewish church of Matthew, out of which this gospel is born, there was some conflict, some division. It happens. It happens in communities, it happens in churches, it happens in families. There was some division which occasioned the invocation, remembering this teaching of Jesus about a process of reconciliation which had ancient roots, going back to the Torah, in the Jewish tradition. When your brother offends you, go and be reconciled with him. Don't bury it. go and be reconciled. If that doesn't work, then you bring witness. If that doesn't work, bring the church. The church is not the church that we know today. The Greek is ecclesia, which means some representatives of a very small emerging community, not highly structured as a church. If he doesn't listen to the church, then treat him like a tax collector or a Gentile. So now we begin to look at how Jesus treated tax collectors and Gentiles. Read the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, and we have a Pharisee, a devout Jew, comes to the temple to pray, and a tax collector who was regarded as an outsider, rejected by the community, also comes to pray. And the Holy One, the Pharisee, comes up front, and at the back of the temple is the tax collector. And you will remember that the Pharisee applauds his lifestyle. He tithes, he goes to the temple, he keeps all the Mosaic law. But the tax collector said, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am a sinner." And Jesus said, the tax collector is more justified, more loved in the eyes of God than the righteous religious person. Also read chapter 10 in Luke's gospel, where you have the Good Samaritan. The outsider is chosen to be the one who becomes the teacher. When Jesus invokes this long-standing tradition of reconciliation, he adds something to it. He said, treat the outsider, the Gentile and the tax collector, the way he treated them. So how did Jesus treat the outsider, the person who was on the margins? He dialogued with them. He encouraged them. He shared their friendship. He included them in his conversations. He broke bread with them. Now, in the Hebrew tradition, to break bread with somebody is a sign of very significant bonding. So it's very clear that Jesus had a place in his community understanding for those whom otherwise were regarded as outsiders. And he said, listen. Listen to the one from whom you differ. Listen to another opinion. We all get caught in conflicts. It happens in churches. It happens in our workplace. It happens in our homes. And we bury these conflicts deep inside of us. But the protocol here would say, go and speak to your brother, speak to your sister about the conflict. Be reconciled, find a way. Don't bury the wound, it will not heal. Don't carry the anger, it will make your life miserable. Bring it to the surface and deal with it. Since it is very common to bury the resentments and to carry them. The Zen Buddhist tradition has this teaching about two monks, Tanzan and Akido. They're contemplative, they're monastic, they're prayerful. They walk in silence. And on one occasion, it is told, they are walking from one monastery to the next in silent prayer. And they come upon this beautiful young lady who cannot cross the road because of the monsoon rains had muddied the surface. And Akido goes and picks her up without saying anything and lifts her across, places her on the other side of the road, and they go on walking. When they get to the monastery and they're allowed to speak to one another, Tenzin said, Akido, how could you interrupt your prayer? How could you violate your contemplative moment by touching this woman and lifting her across and breaking your silence? And Akita said, Tenzin, I left her back on the road. Why do you still have her with you? That's what we do. So today, let the word of God say, be free. Be free. Be healed. Let that thing which is buried deep inside, let it go. Bless somebody with whom you differ. Look for the good in others. It's the teaching of the word of God. We need this teaching in our families. When I pray for my family, people here are familiar, I always pray for one unique person. That is, I don't know your families, but I know my family. We have like a weird person, somebody who just doesn't fit in, you know? You know, they're kind of unique person, and they show up at Thanksgiving, they show up at Christmas, you're not sure where to put them, you kind of put them over there. And I'll tell you, my friends, if anybody in our families is made to feel less than special, it's a sin against the family. That's a wound in the family. And if anybody ever walks into this church and for any reason is made to feel less than special, it's a sin against the church. It's a wound. The Word of God calls us today to be healing persons, to be inclusive persons, to understand, to be patient, to listen, to be gracious. Do that, and the Word of God will come to life. Amen.